Sid Zack, and Aaron Camaro. Welcome to the most comprehensive news source in the world. Welcome to the Decibel Geek Podcast. I am your anchor, Aaron Camaro, co-anchor, Chris Sinzak, and today we're bringing you the most important news in the entire world.
Yeah, completely unfair and totally unbalanced.
Exactly, yes.
Another new noise.
Not too right, not too left wing, not too right wing, just right.
Yeah.
Just that perfect happy medium, because we don't believe in fake news around here. We're going to bring it to you straight and let you know what's going on in the world around you, the things you need to know.
Yeah, we only do the fake news on April Fool's Day.
And we haven't done that in a long time either.
Maybe we should revisit that.
People get upset.
Yeah, just a little.
I'm feeling like a fool right now, though.
Why is that?
Because I'm looking at the Apple Music reviews and the Facebook recommendations and the Podchaser and all that good stuff. Guess what?
Goose
Nothing.
Eggs.
Nothing at all.
Yeah, guys, come on.
Come on, man.
Aaron's going to get really emotional if you don't get
We've
it together.
We've been on such a great roll.
I know.
Such a great roll.
Hate to see it come to an end.
We had a really good time last week answering everybody's questions, and it got me thinking about stuff like, you know, iTunes reviews and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And even though I never do it, I looked at that Chartable.com.
Okay.
And I wish I wouldn't have.
Is it bad?
We weren't even on there.
Oh, well, yeah.
I mean, there's been times when we've been up in the top 10.
I mean, it changes like by the minute.
But it changes all the time. But when you open it up and look at it and go, oh, man, we're not listed anywhere.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I've given up with charts. I don't really care anymore.
No, I don't think I'm going to go back and look at that no more.
I mean, yeah, but like you'll have a great day where it goes high, and then you'll have a day where it's not on there.
And then
so
you
it's
go,
like,
well,
fuck
what,
it.
What happened? You know, what did we do to make it spike up like that? You'll never figure it out.
And I've never had anyone give me a satisfactory answer to how it ranks things.
Oh, well, screw it.
So fuck it.
If I need to feel bad about something, I'll just open up the file that holds all of our Apple Podcast reviews, Podchaser reviews, and Facebook recommendations, and if I need to be brought back down a little bit when I'm feeling too good about myself, I'll go look at that, and it'll knock me right back down to reality.
Well,
please, people,
but
please
yeah,
help us out.
We need the reviews, so you know. And I know Apple Music is a pain in the ass to leave, but almost all of you, I'm sure, are on Facebook, and it's easy to leave a recommendation on Facebook.
Yeah,
so please do that at least.
And it's fun because it's fun for us to read them, especially if they're funny or cool or whatever.
And
you
I went on our Podchaser page, and I think I saw a tumbleweed go by. So come on, that's way overdue for a review, because Podchaser is a cool site.
Yeah,
you know,
and it's still going.
Yeah, it's still it's like IMDb for podcasts. So it's like, you know, if you look up Aaron's name, you'll not only see all of the Decibel Geek episodes, but you'll see all of the times he's appeared on other shows.
Like I just appeared on Ages of Rock.
Yeah.
And talked about strippers and stripper music.
That was a good interview.
That was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I like that.
But yeah, it's like that. And you can also like individually review episodes, which is pretty cool too.
That's pretty cool. So if you get one that you really, really like a lot, or if you have one in the past that you always felt like that was your favorite, go right down quick, quiet.
Yeah.
You know?
And we see the download numbers, and we're happy to see those, but when you do a podcast, you really don't know what people think of it. So it's like, you know, unless you guys say what you think of an episode, even if it's not good, I'd rather know one way or the other.
Yeah, because once I feel bad after looking and seeing we have no reviews, I go look at our download numbers, and it makes me feel great again.
Yeah,
so,
I mean, we do good, but we like to hear from you.
Yeah, it helps us guide the show. You know, you guys don't realize it sometimes, but you are always and always have been an important part. You're the sail of the ship that rolls through the stormy sea.
Oh, boy.
If iTunes reviews and Facebook recommendations are lost, then I got to tell you, so are we.
Yeah, so leave a review so we have no more elder references for our reviews.
So are we.
Yeah, I got it the first time.
So we had a lot of fun last week anyway. We answered all the questions that
we could get to. Well, yeah, we missed a few.
Yeah.
Well, Matt Ashcraft, I apologize.
We can always revisit this. You know?
Yeah, we want to do it again.
People just didn't get to see it on time, so they didn't get to leave a question and felt bad afterwards.
Mighty K,
yeah, definitely. So, you know, we'll do this again.
Absolutely.
It was fun. It was kind of neat just to kick back and see what's on your minds, you know, and answer the questions as best and honestly as we could.
Yeah, I like the interactive part of that. I thought it was fun, and it was cool to kind of revisit some of the past of the show, too, and talk about interviews we've done, because it's always next week. So it's nice to actually pay attention to some of the stuff we've done in the past.
And it shows that you guys care.
Yeah.
You care about what we think.
You
can't
like
believe
us.
It.
You really, really like us.
Well, I know you got a whole list of people that really liked last week's episode.
Yeah, the Geeks of the Week this week. People shared on Facebook, retweeted on Twitter last week's Ask Us Anything episode. Geeks of the Week this week are Matt Ashcraft, Mark Alden Taylor, Freeform Rock Podcast, Brant Cattell, Joseph Capone, Jay Shabalewski, Kristen Schimbeck, Scott Crouch, David Glenn, Aaron Baker, Warren Edward, LaRue Baker, Mikhail Burrell, Ken J. West, Wayne Cross, Andrew Jacobs, Alan Tate, Cobras and Fire, Shane Abair, Mike Parnell, Jeff Taylor, Ernesto Aguiar, Eladio, Sean Cullen, and as always, the Mooger Fooger.
Yes, thank you so much for sharing last week's episode, our big question and answer, Inquisition of Rock and Roll, right here on the Decibel Geek Podcast. You want to become a Geek of the Week next week? All you got to do is share this week's episode, the latest edition of New Noise.
Yeah, so there's quite a bit going on in the rock world over the last week.
There is. You know, I was watching the Democratic debates just the other night, you know, and what I took away from this, I don't think not a one of those people could ever beat Donald Trump in an air guitar contest.
I'd rather not think about it. I don't want that visual in my head. Come on.
So, you know, that's the political segment of our news show.
Just going to do what I always do and do a write-in vote for Lemmy. Even he dead would run the country better.
Lemmy is your best choice for the future of America.
Can't make anything worse.
But, no.
So let's get to the first story. And good old David Lee Roth looks like he's coming out of the shadows to do a Vegas residency.
That's cool. That's a good idea. I like that. If you can't have Van Halen out there doing it right now, why not, Dave? You know, do the residency thing. People seem to always dig that.
Yeah, let me give a few facts about what's going on. It's supposed to take place at the House of Blues at Vegas' Mandalay Bay on January 8th. That's when it starts. And
okay, so this video that was posted is like, it's not going.
No,
already.
It's like it's rehearsal video from actually SIR Studios in Vegas. And I guess he had let some select fans come in and one of them videoed some of it.
Yeah, I bet you Dave don't wish after that, like, okay, we let special people in, but they got to swear not to film anything. This is just practice.
Before we get to our reaction, he described the show's format as, I am Las Vegas. I include hard rock. I include classic rock. I include rodeo. I include Gaga. I include mud wrestling. I include UFC mixed martial arts. Our music has been a part of all of that. If you say David Lee Roth to anybody, I pretty much get the phone call answered at least the first time. This is interactive in its most basic sense. The experience is not just the music and the show. It starts with two pieces of key lime pie for breakfast. David Lee Roth is Vegas, baby. We include it all.
It's hard to argue that, you know. David Lee Roth, you look at him, he really could be, that guy could be the mayor of Las Vegas, and no one would think twice about it.
Yeah. One thing he also said in
so flashy and awesome. That's the Vegas way.
Yeah. And he says, we do not sound like Van Halen live. You have not heard this. Van Halen live is lead guitar, bass, drums, singer. Here we bring it in the way a record brings it. To do that requires two or three guitars. We have five people hollering. It's big rock sound. It's not just a gigolo. It's not brass band. That was a quickie vacation. This is not a tribute band. He continued, I wrote these songs. I structured these songs. We bring the respect and dignity to what we are doing the same way that the Lincoln Center brings to the Beethoven Festival with the latest Philharmonic. It's a new orchestra and a whole new sound.
All right.
But
not really. Because it's just a rock band up there playing Van Halen songs with David Lee Roth singing.
That's what we saw in the video that got leaked. It's little clips of like, what, five songs maybe?
Yeah. Just shows some different things that he's doing throughout the show.
I bet you
he was pissed.
I love David Lee Roth, and I always have and I always will, but his voice is just not there anymore. I mean, it's...
But I got to look at it as, you know, this wasn't really something, I don't know. We could talk about this, I think. We talked to Rockin' Ron recently, and he was at a Ron Keel show. Mm-hmm. And Ron Keel was out doing the pre-warm-up deal, you know?
The sound check.
And he didn't really want people filming that, you know? And I listened to heard what happened, and it was just like, yeah, I get that. You know, you as a performer want to put it out there, you know? This is it. This is the whole show right here. Boom, enjoy that. Film whatever you want to. But in pre-practice warm-ups, you know, that's not really something you want to put out there for the fans.
Right.
So, like, in this instance, I would think, test run in front of a few select people, not bad, you know. Probably wasn't giving it his all. Probably wasn't putting everything into it, but wanted to get a feel for how it was going to work. And then I think the real true judge of it will be somewhere in the middle of January after he's been doing it.
Yeah, we'll see what happens when it's
when he's
out for public consumption.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and I can dig that. You know, I can see like a painting and say that's a piece of art. I like to hang that in my living room.
Yeah.
But does the painter really want me standing over him watching him as he paints the painting? No, of course not.
That's fair, but did you see Van Halen a couple of years back when they did the Jimmy Kimmel show and they did Panama?
Is that the one where he busted himself in the head? That's a crazy video.
I'm just saying his vocals on that sounded basically the same as what we saw in this video. So, and that was a public, kind of straight-up performance for a national TV audience.
Hard to sing when you're bleeding to death.
Okay.
Jeez, give David Lee Roth a break,
You're
man.
A David Come Lee apologist.
On. Come on. Let me take a hammer and bonk you on the head with it, and then let's see how the rest of this podcast goes.
Yeah, and Paul Stanley has bad knees, so I'm sure that makes him lip sync.
I don't know. I think Paul Stanley's still a fine dancer, and so is David Lee Roth.
He's a great dancer, sure.
That's the best takeaway from this whole thing. He's got his dance moves down.
What did you think of David Lee Roth's vocals? His dance moves looked amazing.
Dance moves were amazing. Something else I thought about while watching that, you know, David Lee Roth, he's got like the nice button-up shirt. Mm-hmm. He's got the slacks and the nice shoes, you know, the kind of shoes I'd never wear.
Yeah.
And, you know, a nice like suit vest on. Would you rather have David Lee Roth doing a show like this wearing a wig and wearing a cool costume?
Where he looks like the old days?
Yeah, a little more. Maybe not completely, but a little bit more.
If he's going to stick to the Van Halen thing, probably, I guess.
I feel bad for Dave, like, from a fashion sense.
Because he looks like David Lee Roth's grandfather now?
Yes. Yeah, and when you go see David Lee Roth, so if you're going to get the dance moves, I think you should have the wardrobe.
Right.
You know, if you're going there and going, man, this guy's an amazing singer, you got to see him perform, he does all this crazy kung fu shit, you know, he's an amazing guy to see live, you know, and hear sing. Then that's fine, you know, do it plain, dress down, and just perform, you know, and sing. But if you're delivering more of a show and less of a vocal performance, then ham it up, you know?
Yeah.
Dress up a little bit for it.
I kind of see both points, because, like, you know, for one, you'd like to see a show, and you want to remember him the way he was, but then there's also part of me that respects him for just going ahead and aging and saying, you know, fuck it, this
I mean,
is me
it
now.
It is what it is. You know? I mean, you can't change it. And on the other side of that, you're always going to get people that are going to pick on you.
Oh, sure. No matter what you do.
If you put on the wig and put on the bandanas on your wrists and all that stuff.
You know, when him and Hagar did that tour together, he was doing the whole full wig thing then and wearing, like, you know, a sequin jumpsuit instead.
Oh, I watched a video on that, how those two just couldn't get along.
Yeah, that's a YouTube goldmine. We should do a commentary on that sometime.
Definitely. We'll do that for VIPs because I watched that. There's some funny stuff there.
Oh, boy.
It makes you really not like Sammy Hagar, but it also kind of makes you not like Dave.
I almost took
the
opposite away from it because I was like,
well, here, I watched that, and what I took away from it was, because the premise is it's Dave and Sammy Hagar are out on tour together, and they're so different.
Completely different.
Like, Dave is totally show business, and Sammy Hagar is just...
He's just your buddy
just
next
music.
Door.
Yeah. And so Dave's like the whole package, and Sammy Hagar is like a stripped-down version of that, and those two things are so very different, although they're delivering the same thing in the end, but they're so different in their ways going about it that they could just never coexist. It just cannot be. The two things cannot live together.
Because it's like Hagar he's trying to just be friendly with the guy and like, you know, get up on stage and let's do a few songs together for the Van Halen fans. And Dave's like, you're beneath me. I'm not going to do that.
Why would he do that? Why would he say, what would they sing? You know, say, I'm Dave and you're Sammy. Okay, we're going to get up on stage together. What are we going to sing? We're going to sing one of my songs? We're going to sing one of your songs?
I think they would have to do one of Roth's songs.
Well, I don't want you doing one of my songs. I do my own songs.
I get that.
You know?
I just
tell you what. You just do your Van Hagar thing and let me do David Lee Roth, and we'll keep them separate. And at the end of the night, you know, you can see what the whole show really is, and you'll appreciate it. And you're like, well, I'm never going to do that.
Yeah.
You know, the whole movie thing seemed like, you know, David Lee Roth going, okay, now this is how you make an entrance as a rock star is what the people want. You
right.
know? And so he'd do his thing and Sammy Hagar would be like, look at that guy.
Yeah.
Look at his shiny pants. You know, always trying to hog the line.
Truly two very different personalities.
And neither one of them are really wrong.
I see both of them for what they are, but I kind of felt bad for Sammy because Sammy's just trying to get along and make everybody have a good time. And Dave's still pulling the rivalry thing from back in the 80s.
Well, he's just trying to, because everybody makes that comparison. I don't think there's ever been in the history of music a lead singer replacement as divisive as Van Halen ever.
No, not even close.
There's been other ones, but they pale in comparison to that.
Yeah. And I guess each of them would have valid reasons to be bitter towards the other one.
Sure.
Because
absolutely.
Hagar takes over. All he hears about is, it's better with Dave.
Yeah.
I happen to agree with.
I do too.
But then at the same time, I can see how Roth would be bitter because, well, that's the guy that got my job and they continued to be successful while
right.
I'm doing Your Filthy Little Mouth and having a hard time playing theaters.
Right. True.
So I don't think they will ever, although my favorite line that sums the whole thing up is Roth was doing an interview on Howard Stern. And Howard was trying to drive the point of like, why can't you guys just get along? You're both good guys. Because I think I'm not a super big fan of Sammy at all, especially not with Van Halen. But I get the feeling that he's a decent guy.
Yeah,
like he'd be a cool guy to have a beer with.
Sure.
But Dave just goes, look, Sammy Hagar wants to throw a party. I am the party. And that pretty well sums up the relationship between the two of them.
It's true. It's true. You can't argue it. So I think,
but I wish Roth the best with this. I hope his vocals sound better in January.
Boy, and the difference, you gotta, and I'm banking on this is just him feeling things out of how it could go. You know, this is the skeleton of what he's going to deliver in Vegas.
Right.
But, to feel the difference between an arena and a theater, you got to beef up them vocals, my friend.
Yeah.
You got to get a little better than that. Still can kick your head off, get them boots to the ceiling when he's doing them jumps,
And
as far as what he's wearing, I don't know. I don't know what the answer is to that. I wish I did.
Well, I wonder. Well, he's doing a Vegas residency, so I wonder what he's going to come out dressed like.
He's got to
be interesting.
Yeah, because he's the party,
you know?
So he's coming out. He's not coming out wearing what he was wearing on that video, I'm sure.
Yeah,
he's wearing something shiny.
I will say he's one of the most fascinating people on the planet.
Absolutely.
Have you ever watched The Roth Show,
his
video podcast?
Yeah.
Boy, you have to be in the right frame of mind to watch it, though.
Because
otherwise
you'll be really stoned.
What the fuck is this? Yeah.
Really stoned.
You have to be ready to get hit with about, 30 different points of view in a minute and a half.
Right.
So
that's Dave, I love that about him.
So the next story is a sad one. James Hetfield has gone back into rehab for addiction and to the point to where Metallica's canceled a tour of Australia and New Zealand, which worries me because they only had basically, I think, about 7-8 weeks left on this tour. And they've canceled shows to put him in rehab. So how bad must it be for him to have to go back in and sacrifice shows for this?
Makes it seem like, and this is total speculation, makes it seem like maybe there's been problems for a while.
Yeah.
And they've been trying to get through it, but, there's a breaking point sometimes.
Yeah. It kind of surprised me because, everyone who's an addict, you can always slip and fall anytime and fall off the wagon. But
imagine being in one of the greatest bands out there going.
And touring as hard as they do.
Yeah.
But
it's hard not to want to have a couple of beers after every show, but some people can't have a couple beers.
I'm still surprised, though, because it seemed like he had it licked.
Yeah.
And he did for a long time. But I don't know. I saw him here in Nashville this past year, and he certainly didn't seem under any influence on that, but there's also rumors. And this is probably a stupid, crazy. I was like, he probably got caught cheating on his wife, and he blamed alcohol. And now he's in rehab.
But
I don't know if that's the case.
Yeah, that's speculation too. Anybody can say anything. You can say, "Geez, the guy's got to hang out with Lars Ulrich all the time." What do you think happened to him? Of course, you're going to have breakdowns and relapses and everything else. But that's just speculation also.
And I don't really need to read the statement. It's just what you would expect.
You know,
our brother James has to get better, but we're going to try to go come back later. I don't know. I hope he gets through this.
Yeah, all jokes and stupid speculation aside, it is Metallica and it is James Hetfield who's given us years and years and years of musical enjoyment. So, of course, we wish him the best and hope he pulls through it and whatever the case may be.
I guess the some kind of monster sequel documentary will be out in the next couple of years.
You never know about that stuff nowadays. It might not even be real. It might be just something they're filming for that.
I wonder if they're going to bring back the motivational coach and everything.
Oh, Lord. I always had a hard time.
I was just about to ask, what was your takeaway from some kind of monster movie? Was it hard to watch for you?
It kind of ruined Metallica for me.
Really?
Yeah, it kind of did because
it made them human.
Yeah, kind of like in the same way, like the Osbournes wrecked Ozzy.
Yeah,
like before the Osbournes, nobody made fun of Ozzy Osbourne. Yeah. Everybody was a little bit scared of the guy. Nobody ever talked shit about him. But then he does that TV show, and now he's everyone's like, oh, Ozzy, he's a stupid idiot.
He's like the bumbling uncle.
You know, and it's like, no, Ozzy's not stupid. He's super smart. You know, he's not really articulate when he's having a conversation. Yeah. But regardless, you know, he's from another country. You know, it's Ozzy. You know, and I try to defend him and everything. But in the same way as like Metallica and their having their little arguments and, you know, being little pissies with each other and, you know, and all this stuff. And it's like, come on, I don't want to. I wish I'd have never seen it, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it's one of those be careful what you wish for things because you want to see all the behind the scenes. And I wonder how these guys really interact with each other. And then you see it and you might be like, oh, now I'm kind of disillusioned.
Right.
I mean, I appreciate it for what it is because, you know, that's a band that, aside from the stuff they put out before, like Year and a Half in the Life of Metallica, you get a good sense of who they are as people on that, at least at that time, because of the making of the Black Album and the touring. But this was hardcore behind the scenes where, you know, you're seeing actual arguments take place. I think
any of this even real? Is Vince McMahon behind the camera?
No, I do think it's real. I mean, I could tell that, especially when James and Lars would get into their little spats. So I was like, that's definitely real. My favorite of being when, you know, because Lars is, it was just, you know, and it's the making of Saint Anger, which the best thing that came out of Saint Anger was the movie. But they're like going through all these ideas, trying to come up with songs. And you could tell Lars is just trying to do something inventive on his drum parts because none of the riffs that James and Kirk are coming up with are really any good. They're just kind of just generic. And so Lars is doing all this off time stuff, trying to be fancy. And you could tell James is just, and they're listening to the playback of it. And James is just shaking his head, putting his head in his palm. And he's just like, it's just jacking the vocals all up. And Lars is like, well, I'm sorry. I'm trying to make something exciting out of something that's basically boring, basically insulting James's guitar playing.
Right.
And then James is like, I don't know. I'm just kind of used to the drummer, you know, kind of like, you know, keeping the beat and all. And that pisses Lars off. And it just, but like anyone who's,
I mean, I get it. You
anyone
know,
who's been in a band
else is screwing up. I mean, you're the drummer. I mean, there's a limit to the creativity that
like,
you can bring to a song, you know, without sacrificing the important part of keeping it together.
Yeah. And Lars is like, so you want me to play it regular? And James is like, I didn't call it regular. But it's like, you're driving the song, dude. So you trying to do all this esoteric shit with your drum kit isn't going to make it sound very good.
No wonder Saint Anger turned out to be so horrible.
Oh, it's such a bad album. But you know, anyone who's been in a band can relate to some of that stuff. Because especially if you're around each other way too long, you end up just driving each other crazy.
Yeah.
But I like it because it's interesting. It's an interesting look behind the scenes. But yeah, there are cringeworthy moments with some of those fights.
It's like hearing stories about your number one favorite rock star peeing on the head of an old grandma. I just don't want to know that stuff. But I do want
to
know
that. I was kind of happy to know
that.
But
I don't want to know that stuff.
A lot of people.
I do want to know it, but I'm probably better off not to.
And I think I felt most sorry for Kirk Hammett during the making of that movie. It's just like you realize what he's up against with those two. Like you know, this is even one part where he was like, I pride myself in not having an ego. I try to shrink my ego down as far as I'm thinking, to keep yourself sane in this situation.
You're not going to be able to fit in the same room.
Yeah, otherwise you're going to fucking take a hike and get either leave or get fired.
You guys figure it out, and I'll just be over here noodling. If you need a guitar solo, you just let me know.
Yeah.
And I'll be right there. But otherwise, you guys just do your thing.
But yeah, so I don't, you know, I hope James gets it together. I mean, odd to cancel 2 months of tour dates. I hope he's okay.
Yeah, that does suck. Especially, like you said, they're getting towards the end. They apparently there was just no way to ride it on through.
I guess not.
I saw a thing that Baco posted about the dude from that filled in for Queen, Adam Lambert, that he was going to replace James Hetfield.
Oh, shit.
It was total, like, you know, sarcasm,
yeah, I'm sure
but not real, but... What's that word?
Parody or?
Not parody.
Satire?
Satire, yeah. Total satire. But funny.
Oh, God, yeah. I can't imagine what those songs
are. And a picture of him wearing some skin-tight leather pants with Enter Sandman in bedazzles across his butt.
Oh, man.
But then I look at that, I go, oh, man. There's a million people reading this that think
that's
real.
Real. Oh, God.
I hate Facebook for that shit.
I could go on such a rant on people that believe everything they see on Facebook.
Yeah, it's scary sometimes.
Or the idiots that share a death announcement of a celebrity that died 5 years ago and don't look at the fucking date.
Or you look at something and the headline's written in a way, you go, oh, wow, what's this? And then you open it up and it's just like wordplay that has absolutely nothing to do with what was in the article.
Yeah, clickbait is a real thing.
Really, really real thing. I hate it.
All right, so...
takes years off your life for nothing in exchange.
Now we're going to do something really different today. We're going to talk about Ace Frehley.
All right. Has he peed on an old grandma's head lately?
As far as I know, he hasn't.
That's great. Not for at least 13 years, right?
Yeah.
That's good.
So, original Kiss guitarist Ace Frehley is up for a reunion of the original band, but only if the price is right.
Of course.
Speaking to Rock Candy magazine, he discussed a wide range of issues, including his bad boy reputation and his current relationship with Paul and Gene. But the really exciting news is that Frehley is still willing and ready and willing to perform with Kiss as the band continues its End of the Road tour. It would be nice to go back out with them again, but it's not my call. I think we all have a really good relationship now. I text Paul back and forth, and we've worked together as I have with Gene. I would seriously consider it, but the money would have to be right. I'm not going to take Tommy Thayer's salary.
Well, no, of course not. I mean, that's... I mean, he could, and deep down he probably would, but that is a hell of a kick to the pride to do that. I mean, that becomes more of a contention of... you pay him because you respect him because he was an originator of the band. You know, he's not just a fill-in guy, which Tommy Thayer, love him, hate him, whatever. He is a fill-in guy. Mm. Totally awesome at what he does. Probably nobody in the world better to play that role.
Yeah.
But he is a fill-in guy, and I'm sure he is a salaried employee.
Valid. Except, Ace, even if you feel this way, don't go in and do an interview and say it. Are you trying to guarantee that you never get a job offer? Because that's going to do nothing but piss Paul Stanley off.
What happened to the whole Gene Simmons?
The gloves are off.
Wife? Yeah, what happened to that?
They interview him about that
story, and then gone.
So they bring that up, and he basically goes, "Look, there was some issues with Gene and Rachel at the time last year, but I've since removed myself from it. So now people are speculating that he's kicked her to the curb."
Huh.
And that's also why he's now saying these nice things about wanting to be back in the band again. But still, don't say I won't take Tommy Thayer's salary. Even if you feel that way, save that for the negotiation table. Don't say it in a fucking interview.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't understand his thinking sometimes. It's like, if you really want to get back in the band, saying shit like that is not going to help you.
That is true. That is true. But he's right. He shouldn't.
I'm not saying he's not that he's wrong.
I agree with you.
But all he's doing is he's doing that to fire up fans.
Use a little tact.
But he thinks saying that kind of stuff is going to fire up fans to pressure Gene and Paul.
But Gene and Paul don't care about what the fans think. And they won't even play their favorite songs in concert.
And most of the fans that want Ace back and Kiss don't give a shit about Kiss these days.
Right.
They don't bother with them.
But they would go if
Ace they would,
was in the band.
But it's not a life or death situation. I bet it means more to Ace to get back into the band than most of the fans these days. I mean, as a Kiss fan, I don't care if Ace ever comes back to the band. I really don't. It would be cool, sure.
I'm still going to stand by my statement from like a year ago that when this farewell tour is over, there will be another farewell tour
with
the original members.
Maybe. Another, and I don't even have this in the prep stuff today, but... apparently, I don't know if it's the same interview because I haven't read the whole thing, but they asked Ace about why haven't you done anything with Peter, you know? And he said that he extended an invite to Peter when his band was in the area and Peter declined.
Really?
And then he said, he's like, I know Peter's health isn't the best right now, so maybe that had something to do with it. Two things here. One, Peter's health is his business, and I don't think that was really cool of Ace to say something, even if something is wrong.
See, Ace, he's always just...
stop speaking for other people. Yeah. And two, from what I've heard from people behind the scenes, Peter really doesn't like Ace that much anymore.
Yeah.
And if you read his book, you'll understand why.
Yeah, totally.
So I think Peter had to be coaxed with some money to show up at Gene's vault event, and he stayed there for all of, you know, a minute and a half and left. Didn't do a Q&A, gave Gene a hug, said hi to the fans on a microphone, and then got his vault and left.
Wow.
Like, didn't want to stick around at all. And I'm sure he got paid just to do that.
Oh, I'm sure.
I don't think he wants anything to do with Kiss anymore. I really don't. I think to him, when he said he was retiring, I think he meant he's retired.
Yeah, and you can't, you know, take I don't know, away but for that.
At the same time, though, two times in the last few years, Rob Zombie's played in his area, and he showed up and played drums with him.
Really?
For a song. Yeah.
But Rob Zombie's not Kiss.
But he's buddies with John 5, and John 5 talks him into it. But it's odd that, so maybe he's just like, anything to do with Kiss, I'm not going to do.
Peter can still play. It's not that he can't play drums anymore.
No, I'm sure he can play. At least for a couple of songs. He couldn't do a tour, though. There's no way.
Yeah.
I don't think his body's up to doing a tour. That's fine. But I don't know, man. Ace and Paul are like becoming my least two favorite members of the band. That's kind of sad to say.
Yeah, because Ace just kind of says dumb shit sometimes.
Well, it's just, you want to get back in the band, quit running your mouth.
Maybe that's why Peter don't want nothing to do with him.
Because
he hears him say shit like that in the new media. And like, damn it, dude. You know, whether I'm having health issues or not,
yeah,
it's not in your place to speculate and say I am to some interviewer.
It's funny how Peter Criss has become like the most well-respected member of the band out of all of
this. Because he never says anything.
Because he just keeps his mouth shut. He's like, I don't want any part of your damn circus. Gene a close second. Because honestly, I think Gene's handled himself pretty good over the last few years.
Was there any update on his health condition? I know we talked about that on Torpedo Dudes a little bit.
Just speculation. I mean, he's posted pictures from his house where he's hanging out with his dogs and stuff. So, I mean, whatever it is must have been relatively minor.
Okay.
And they also just announced, you know, more shows, and they rescheduled those shows, and they just got announced the headline Download Festival in England. So
that's cool.
Which led to some crazy speculation, which I wouldn't buy anything into this. Initially, when they put the flyer out, it had the end of the road style Kiss logo.
Yeah.
They removed it and put the old school one that's like, you know, orange and red.
Yeah, yeah.
And of course, people are like, does this mean that they're reunited? I'm like, come on, it's just
that's some wishful thinking. Those are wishful thinking fans, right there.
I think the truth is,
looking
just,
for something.
The logo kind of disappeared into the background, so they put a different logo on.
Yeah,
but the rumor I heard was that it was kidney stones, but I don't know how accurate that is.
Well, that ain't so bad.
No.
You know that you can get taken care of and get right back on the road. But it's something that once you're experiencing it, you need to stop what you're doing and get it handled.
But yeah, I mean, you know, with. And, you know, this crosses my mind more and more as time goes on with, Rick Ocasek from the Cars died, Eddie Money died, and they're all right around the same age as the guys in Kiss. And it's just, it kind of hits me lately. I'm like, hey, you know, we're going to start losing guys from the band soon.
We're lucky we've had them around as long as we have, to be honest with you.
Yeah. I mean, I think most people would have never thought Ace and Peter would have lived this long.
Sometimes you don't realize that you're getting older until things like that happen.
Yeah.
So you look around and say, holy shit, I'm older than the head coach of the Green Bay Packers. It starts making you feel old, you know, and you start thinking, wow, there goes Eddie Money, there goes Rick Ocasek, there goes this guy, there goes that guy, you know, Lemmy, Dio, on down.
It's just going to get worse for us.
And so every time something like that happens, it makes you feel old. But I don't think I'm ever going to truly feel real old until Kiss is all dead. Because when that happens, when I look around at my life and be like, all the members of Kiss are dead.
Mm.
I know I'm old as shit.
Well, it's a morbid thought, but you know it's likely in the next decade that'll happen. That'll be the case.
That's terrible.
Because they're all up in their early 70s now.
That's terrible. I don't want to. We talk about Kiss going away as a band.
Yeah, but they might be dying. So, and some people have said, you know, Paul and Gene are going to play till one of them keels over.
Yeah,
I wouldn't be shocked.
Isn't that the dream?
I mean, that's what a lot of musicians plan
to
do.
Just die on stage.
Yeah.
That's my happiest place.
And like, and everybody's like, oh, Kiss is money grubbing and all that. And maybe they are, but, and like, why is Paul trying to do all this, you know, after all this damage to his voice? I just think there's something like whatever drove them to become musicians in the first place is keeping them doing it.
Sure.
Because they can't imagine living without it.
Right. And it's kind of like a legacy thing, too. Knowing, you know, when we get to be 70, I would imagine we're going to start thinking about our lives and what kind of mark we left on the world, you know, and what kind of legacy we'll be leaving behind. Because then you get to the point where you're a lot closer to death than you were, you know, 30 years ago. And so you start taking things a little more seriously, I would imagine, and start looking at your life and going, oh, what more can I squeeze out of it? You know, I don't know how much time I got left, but I know it's not, you know, 50 years.
Right.
What can I squeeze out of this life, you know, now while I can still get up and move around and do some of the things I used to do? What else can I give it?
But I just think that a lot of the guys that are musicians are just used to that treadmill of a lifestyle.
Yeah.
And it's like, if even when they take breaks, they're like, can't wait to get back on the road.
Yeah.
You know, Gene said that in interviews for decades where he's sad the day that a tour ends.
Yeah.
Because he wants to immediately get back on the road again. That's just all they know.
I would imagine, because you get home and you sit there.
Everything stops.
And you look around and go, wow.
Now what?
This is freaking boring, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, because it's like a high-speed lifestyle when you're on the road. Changes every day.
I always remember like the Nikki Sixx heroin diaries. Like things were bad on the road, but they got way worse once he got locked into his house and they were off the road and, you know, nothing better to do but to do all the heroin you can get your hands on, kind of thing.
Right.
Or at least you're on the road, you're preoccupied with life and then everything stops.
Yeah. It's got to be a difficult transition each time. So this is one I was interested to talk about. Dee Snider slams the NFL for ignoring heavy music when choosing the Super Bowl halftime show performers.
I 100% agree with that. They got no problem playing Ozzy and all kinds of kick-ass rock music during the games.
Yeah.
Like the DJs that are up playing the music in between the plays, they're all playing Metallica and Ozzy and Ted Nugent and Kiss and all kinds of cool stuff. But when it comes to the halftime show, you get Beyonce or something. I mean, what's the difference? If you know the fans react to that music during the game, what would make you say, oh, well, if they love all this cool metal that they're playing, these upbeat, rocking, welcome to the jungle type songs, then they're really going to love it when we bring out CeeLo Green. You know, what's the thinking behind that?
I'll play devil's advocate and tell you why they don't do it. I'm going to say this from the perspective of I'm the NFL.
Okay, so let's use Ozzy Osbourne as an example. Right. I'm here pitching to you, NFL. Hey, you know, you guys have been doing all these weird things for halftime, but what about Ozzy?
Yeah.
You guys play all kinds of Bark at the Moon and Crazy Train and stuff, and the fans are all reacting to it and loving it. Why not Ozzy at the halftime show?
Because that music is exciting to hype the crowd up during the game because it helps, like, build motivation for the game. However, we're not just dealing with what's hyping people up during the game. We're dealing with what advertisers are paying for and what's going to get the most eyeballs to tune into this halftime show. One, if they book a rock band, football is already dominated by a male audience.
Okay.
That's unquestionable. So therefore, you need to pull in female audience. What's going to pull in the female audience? Is Kiss being booked going to pull in the female audience, or is J-Lo being booked going to pull in a female audience?
I don't
know. Who is more relevant today in mainstream music, J-Lo or Kiss or Ozzy?
J-Lo. I don't know if J-Lo is a good example. Take like a Cardi B or something that's
still
relevant now.
Something that's been relevant in the last 20 years. Because Kiss's heyday, Ozzy's heyday, much longer ago.
Yeah.
It's basically a thing.
I mean, Kiss is still pretty damn big.
I get that.
And Ozzy's still the man.
Still popular, but in the overall scheme of worldwide music listeners, it's niche compared to J-Lo and Shakira, which is what we're getting this year.
So do you think it's like Pepsi coming in going, no, you can't use a band like that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's all based on dollars. It's who's paying for the halftime show.
Because these massive companies, they also kind of sponsor artists.
They absolutely have a say in who gets put in there.
Commercials and
stuff
like that.
Totally.
You know? Yeah.
And they don't want old school rock and roll. They want something that's considered hip now. Of course, it's corporate marketer people, so it's something that was hip 20 years ago, like J-Lo.
Right, yeah.
So that tells you all you need to know. It's people that aren't really experts in music, probably just surface music fans, but they're like, we want this person, so therefore the NFL gives them that person. That's why you had Katy Perry, Lady Gaga. And then a few years back, we got Aerosmith, which was great, but they saddled them with Britney Spears and Mary J. Blige, I think. It's another thing that irritates me about it is like even if they get an artist, they want to shoehorn all these celebrity guests in with them and try to get five songs in a 10-minute performance. It's like just do two good songs by yourself and be happy with it. Quit trying to make it into something it's not, because it's always a train wreck when they do that shit.
Yeah.
But that's why. That's why you're not going to get a hard rock or a metal band.
Well, that sucks.
Yeah.
And I don't like it.
I don't like it either.
NFL, you become too corporate.
They've been too corporate for decades, dude.
Lighten up, Goodell.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure that'll happen. All right.
What do you think his favorite band is?
Roger Goodell.
I think he has one.
Maroon 5, maybe.
Yeah.
That's who had the Super Bowl last year, right?
I have no idea.
It is.
I don't even remember. It's so unmemorable.
That whole Super Bowl sucked. But this year it'll be the Chiefs and the Packers.
So. The last time that I tuned into a Super Bowl halftime show where I didn't get up and walk away from it was Prince.
Yeah, and Prince, I don't know Prince that anyone will top whaled, that. Was know? Probably the best yeah. one ever.
Oh, of all time, yeah. for sure.
All right, so let's...
It's too late for Kiss to top that now.
Yeah, I don't want to see Kiss do it now.
No.
Although using vocal tapes is pretty normal for Super Bowl halftime performances.
96 should have been the year.
That would have been the year to do it. Or 2000 when they were doing the farewell. AC/DC would be the perfect.
Oh, absolutely.
See, they could do it.
And they play AC/DC half the discography by the end of
and
the
I think
first half.
They're big enough with the female audience, too.
Yeah.
Even bigger than Ozzy.
Yeah, why not AC/DC?
They would be great for it.
We should petition the NFL.
They have the best shot of any rock band, I think.
True, yeah. Yeah, you're probably
Some people think Metallica, but I think they would
there.
Yeah, but they might scare some people off. AC/DC still pretty mainstream sounding.
Yeah, because they can go in there and play a couple of songs you've heard a million times.
Play You Shook Me All Night Long.
And Hell's Bells.
Hell's Bells or Highway to Hell.
Highway to Hell, whatever. Yeah. Whatever Pepsi deems appropriate.
Right.
Assholes, Coca-Cola, whichever.
I want your take on this story, because I don't know how to take this. In a recent interview with 107.7 The Bone radio station, Fozzy singer Chris Jericho spoke about his previous characterization of his band as a 17-year overnight sensation. He says, when Judas the song came out, it became kind of the elusive hit single, he said. I think we're at 32 million views on YouTube or something like this. It put things in a different world. And then Painless and Burn Me Out were both top tens following that up. It just took us to another level. People say, are you surprised? I'm not surprised because I knew it was going to happen. It was just the right place at the right time for the right band with the right group of songs. So the best part of it was we were ready for it. When the record exploded, we had a great rock and roll band that was very tight that had been playing for years. Like you said, a 17-year overnight sensation. So we were very prepared for all these successes and all these big opportunities like playing with Nickelback or Iron Maiden at a stadium. To know that we're going to be doing a stadium with Iron Maiden, you can't be a band that doesn't have confidence. You can't because you'll get eaten alive by the fans, by the production. We know exactly what we're doing, so when we go on stage with a band like that or Nickelback, we set up our stuff and take it off so fast. They're like, what happened? We have a crew that's completely knowledgeable, and they're like ninjas when the band are like ninjas, and that comes from experience.
That's cool.
And then we get to the...
That's good. I like all that.
But he gets to a point in here where he basically says that he says, I'd expect nothing less than arenas for us in the future. Do you really think Fozzy is going to become an arena rock band, like, on their own?
I don't know about
I think
on their
he's
own.
Delusional if he thinks that.
I mean, because he mentioned, you know, being on them big stages with bands like
Those
Iron Maiden.
Opening slots.
Right. True. True. But technically...
I saw Caroline Spine in an arena.
And the Melvins.
Yeah. And Trickster.
Yeah, true.
That doesn't make them arena bands. That means you got a lucky break.
I mean, they were playing at the arena.
Yeah, we're an arena band now. and
you got to love Chris Jericho.
I love his confidence.
If nothing else, for his confidence and his assuredness, you know, and to give props to his crew, you know, like that. And to take an interview and take time to go, hey, you know, we're the band and everything, and everybody likes us, but don't forget about these ninjas over here that are tearing this stuff
and
up and down. And, you know,
but
I like that, too.
Are they as big a deal as he's making them out to be? Like, I get that Judas had a lot of streams. But, like, is that really – I don't know. I'm not following their touring and what numbers they're doing. Are they really doing that big of numbers now?
Well, you got to figure. They got, like, the double front attack, you know, the double attraction there where you got people that are fans of the band, Fozzy, and love the music. And you got the people that want to see their favorite wrestler, Chris Jericho, fronting this band.
Slash podcaster.
And then you got people that love him for his
podcast. He's got an audience just from that.
That want to see it. And you got people like me that love the podcast, love the professional wrestler, and love the band Fozzy.
Maybe that is pulling in bigger numbers than what they used to.
I'm sure they're doing better than most.
I just was... But say, you're not going to be playing arenas in the future, bud.
Maybe
I
he mean, believes that, maybe he don't, but he said it.
I mean, I do like the confidence in that, but I don't know. I mean,
He didn't specify. You're like, opening for Maiden, you know, opening for Ozzy. Yeah. But, I mean, if they're still in the arena playing, that makes you an arena band.
Okay.
Do you think, like, if you're saying, like, do you see Fozzy on a co-headlining arena tour with the Foo Fighters?
Or Disturbed or something like that.
I would say they're just as big as Disturbed.
Yeah, no. There's
Disturbed?
No way. There is no way they're as big as Disturbed.
Is Disturbed even that big anymore?
Oh, yeah, dude. They still pack arenas.
Would you put them up there with Godsmack?
I would say Disturbed is probably bigger than Godsmack.
Really?
Especially after the success of the Simon and Garfunkel cover. That put them into a whole different stratosphere.
Yeah, that.
Oh, that's a great cover. You don't like that?
It's all right, I guess.
Oh, that's an amazing performance.
They were always good at taking songs like soft, slow songs like that and changing them in a way that makes them cool, I guess.
But I mean,
that was something else.
But no, I and Godsmack, it's like that. I do get tired of people in our age group going, oh, there's no band that's going to replace Kiss or Iron Maiden. There are bands that are doing it. Maybe not quite to the level, but you've still got, and like, you've got Disturbed, you've got Godsmack. Blink 182, whether you like them or not, were a massive band that still actually does really well on the road.
Really?
Green Day is still a massive band. They still play stadium dates overseas. And they play arenas to this day.
Don't count overseas. We're talking about America. Where,
but still, they're still an arena band. Yeah. And it's just like, you may not like those bands.
Trickster's huge overseas.
Okay. God, why does Trickster have to come up every 5 minutes?
Because they're the perfect example a lot of times.
But Green Day still is a very well-respected band. There's bands that just because we don't like them doesn't mean that they're not carrying the torch.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, I see Fozzy on a lot of posters and advertisements for these big festivals, and their name is usually right up there.
I need to ask Joe Polo because he just saw them in Atlanta like last night, I think.
I mean, they're a great band.
Let's see what kind of audience they're drawing.
And I love the music. I think it's cool. I like the way that Fozzy always kind of stuck to their guns. They didn't really change their sound too much to fit whatever was popular. That first album was weird and different than everything else.
Yeah, but they were just finding their feet.
But other than that, you know, moving forward, there's always been a steady progression with Fozzy without changing so much that what the fans that liked albums like Happenstance, wouldn't dig the new album, you know, but still growing and progressing in a cool way. You know, I put Fozzy right up there, I'd say. Yeah.
But they're not up there with Disturbed yet.
I think so.
No.
I think so.
Put it to you, the listener.
Yeah, we'd have to get the stats and the album sales and all that stuff if you really wanted to break it down
into a
scientific experiment.
I want feedback on this point on the Facebook page for this episode.
Fozzy versus Disturbed.
Fozzy versus Disturbed. Which one would you say is the bigger band? It's got to be Disturbed.
I'd say it's got to be pretty much even.
No, I don't even think it's close.
Huh.
Disturbed has had way bigger track record of actual hits.
But again, I think still Jericho being Jericho brings a lot more to it than just fans of rock music.
No, he does, and
that's a whole nother, you know, group of people that don't show up to Fozzy if they don't know who Chris Jericho is, no matter how good the band is.
But is that a crutch?
Is it a crutch or is it a benefit?
I don't know.
I'd call it a benefit.
But I mean, is it a crutch?
Right up there with Disturbed.
But is it a crutch to them being viewed as legitimate?
At this point,
like, half the crowd is wrestling fans.
At first, I bet you it was, but as the popularity grew.
I know Aaron Baker's going to chime in on this. He loves Fozzy.
And we talked about this a little bit last week, is like, to use the example of our podcast, you know, how do you grow your numbers?
Yeah.
It takes time.
Yeah.
With it. You know, this band started way back in the 90s.
Oh, I respect them. But they're not as big as Disturbed.
I don't know.
There's no way.
I guess we'll put it to the people and find out.
Okay.
I think so.
All right. So let's go to the next story. But yeah, Michael Sweet, for a solo record, just released the lyric video for Son of Man. It's just a song with a duet with Queensryche's Todd LaTorre. And I think this song is a fucking beast.
It is. It's badass. It's so good.
I love it. And like the way that they're trading off the lines for the verses with each other.
That's cool. I like that when you get that. Two superstar singers appearing together on a song.
Yeah. And
it works here for sure.
Todd LaTorre kind of bringing the Bruce Dickinson vibe to me.
I was thinking about that. When I listened to that, really made me think, wow, this guy really was an Iron Maiden fan when he was young growing up. And then it made me think, you know, seems to me like Todd LaTorre would be a way better fit for Iron Maiden back in the day when they got Blaze Bailey.
Yeah.
Why didn't they get him then?
I think you would have been a better fit for Iron Maiden than Blaze Bailey.
Well, quite possibly, yeah. Almost anybody.
Yeah. I don't know. Well, he was probably just a teenager at that time. I don't think he's very old.
Yeah.
He's probably about our age. But yeah, I'm excited for this record, man. Coming out on Rat Pack on October 11th, which is right around the corner.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I'm excited for that. It features an all-star guest lineup that includes Rich Ward of Fozzy, who we just talked about, Jeff Loomis of Arch Enemy, Andy James, Tracy Guns.
If Fozzy was a bunch of nobodies, Michael Sweet wouldn't be hanging out with them, right? I'm telling you.
where did I say they were a bunch of nobodies? I love that you take me and say they're not as big as Disturbance and these guys fucking suck.
I'm really learning from this whole headlines thing.
Oh, man. Don't brandvold me like that.
Oh, no. How dare you?
Yeah. Also, Tracy Guns, Joel Hoekstra from Whitesnake, Gus G of Firewind, Howie Simon, Ethan Broche, Marzi Montazeri of X-Order, Will Hunt of Evanescence, John O'Boyle, Mike Kurt, Ian Raposo of Firstborn. But yeah, it's a hell of a lineup of people.
Should be badass.
I want to hear what Tracy Guns is going to do.
Yeah, that's what I was
here.
Just thinking.
But yeah.
I mean, as cool as this was, what's Tracy Guns going to do with them? That's awesome.
But I'm excited for this. And he also said in another interview recently that that Stryper's going into the studio January, February, and next album's going to be even crazier than this last one.
Nice. I can't wait.
Yeah.
I'm more excited about the new Stryper music than I am about the old classic albums.
I kind of am, too. I mean, I've never seen a band that's this far into their career that's just, you know, really running on just great creative spirit right
definitely.
Now.
Definitely. Yeah. Oh, I love that. Yeah, that new song kicks ass. A plus.
Yeah.
Most definitely.
So you want to go to a song that might have a very different grade?
Sure.
Choir Riot has released another song, and boy, are they going through some change right now. The vocalist on this album, James Durbin, who you guys probably remember from American Idol, just left the band right as they finished work on this record, which is becoming a trend for Quiet Riot, it seems.
Yeah, there's some weird stuff going on in the world of Quiet Riot right now.
They had the last album they did, I don't remember, the guy's name was Sean something. He was the singer, and then he left the band right before the album came out, and that one they re-recorded all the vocals with Jizzy.
Right, yeah, so they should have done that with this one.
And that's, people were immediately asking Frankie that, and he's like, no, we're not doing that.
No, they re-recorded it with Durbin.
Oh, yes, right.
So Durbin replaced the guy.
Right.
And then they went back in and re-recorded the album so that when it came out, it made more sense because this is the current lineup.
Road Rage, that was the album.
But then this one, they recorded with James Durbin.
Right.
And as soon as it's done, he leaves the band, which is weird, you know. But I guess when you look at the whole big picture,
I just think
it might be something you want to walk from, not be associated with.
He's kind of hit a ceiling on who he's going to get exposure to. With doing the Quiet Riot thing, and he's still a young guy.
Right,
I don't blame him for doing it.
He probably makes just as much money if he just found some good players and went out as James Durbin.
Probably, because I don't get the impression Quiet Riot's making money hand over fist right now. So,
what is the definition of Quiet Riot in 2019? I mean, I listened to this song that you played for me, and it's like there's nothing about that song that makes me, even if I never knew what it was, to guess this is Quiet Riot.
Yeah, it doesn't have any of their old school sound to it.
But is there anybody left in Quiet Riot? I mean,
well, even live right now, Frankie's not even playing drums for him.
That's what I read.
What the fuck?
So you've got Frankie's the only original member left in Quiet Riot, the drummer.
Yeah.
I mean, granted, he was a founding member, a huge part of it, a part of the band's personality. He was the drummer.
Right.
So the bass player, the guitarist, the singer, everybody's gone.
Yeah.
This is not Quiet Riot anymore. No. And, you know, on top of that, then nobody knows what's going on with Frankie, but he's not showing up at a lot of shows.
And he's not explaining why he's gone.
So my question to that then is, are the Quiet Riot fans really pissed off at this? I mean,
I would think
if somebody says, oh yeah, Quiet Riot, I freaking love them, they're coming to town, and they go to the show, and it's Jizzy Pearl or James Durbin, whoever, singing, and there's not a single original member of Quiet Riot up on that stage. Like, nobody has ever, in the classic era of Quiet Riot, ever been a member that's currently playing. This is completely and honestly...
It's a tribute band.
A tribute band.
Yeah.
Man,
I guess an officially sanctioned tribute band because Frankie owns the name.
Yeah.
But it's not...
It doesn't
seem
right.
That?
You know, and I get, you know, Jizzy Pearl's money. You know, and if you can pay him to come in and sing for your band's probably going to be way better for it.
Yeah, he's a great performer.
But this seems below Jizzy Pearl to me.
He's taking gigs where he can get them.
I know he has, and I know he does, and he's going to make that money because he's going to get out there and earn it, and he's going to take whatever situation he's in and make it better. You know,
I still wish he would get a higher profile.
I would
gig.
Go see Quiet Riot. If they played here tonight, I would buy a
with
ticket. I would definitely go see Quiet Riot, but I'd be going to see Jizzy Pearl.
Right.
And hopefully, maybe... He busts out some Love Hate songs.
Yeah. I don't know. That song, it's not a poorly written song, but good Lord. I mean, like, all you hear is Durbin's vocals and the drums. Like, the guitar and bass are completely buried in the mix. And it's just like, did Frankie produce this himself?
I'm sure. If I were to take a guess, I mean, Quiet Riot ain't got the money to go hang out with Michael Wagner for a couple of weeks.
You know, and no disrespect to Frontiers, because we love those people, but it's produced so awfully.
And the album cover is one of the stupidest, ugliest things I've ever seen in my life.
It's one of the worst album covers I've ever seen.
It's a goofy cartoon of the Quiet Riot guy wearing the mask, but he's wearing a cowboy hat.
Yeah, it's called Hollywood Cowboys, which is a very unoriginal name, too.
Lame. Oh, it's just, there's nothing cool about this album.
It feels incredibly uninspired and like a complete cash grab.
I haven't heard the whole album, so I shouldn't say that.
No, but I want to listen to the whole thing.
But looking at it, I'm not.
It doesn't bode well.
If I were a huge Quiet Riot fan, which I really can't claim to be, you know? I respect them because they were one of the first bands to come out of the Sunset Strip.
Yeah.
I mean, if it weren't for Slade, there probably wouldn't be a Quiet Riot.
Come On Feel the Noise was like one of the first videos I remember really, really getting into on TV.
Yeah, definitely, because that was cool, and it was one of the first
bands that really came on.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
But now, I feel bad for the hardcore Quiet Riot fans. I really do, you know? And I don't know how many of them are out there, but if they were to go to a show, and if they are fans of the original, they'd be like, wow, that Jizzy Pearl was awesome, and the band was good, but what is this? Why? What makes this Quiet Riot? There is no Quiet Riot in 2019, and man, again, you know, couldn't Frankie Benali make just as much money outdoing the Frankie Benali All-Star Band?
No, because the name carries a lot of cachet. That's why the Rat guys have been fighting over that name for a decade.
But then again, it's fake headlines again.
Yeah.
You know, you're reading Quiet Riot, but then you open it up and walk on in, and that's not what you're getting.
Right.
You know, and I hate to even talk about it that way because Jizzy Pearl is so fucking awesome. Again, I feel like, I get it, but honestly, I feel like
this
whole situation is below Jizzy Pearl. He should be doing his own damn thing because he's too awesome to be wrapped up in a fake band. I would hate somebody to come in and see them play and go, I don't like this, I don't like that guy, because this is all bullshit, and not give him the proper chance to win you over as a fan of rock and roll.
Right, yeah.
I think somebody that's a real Quiet Riot fan would feel deceived.
Yeah, I agree.
And hopefully Jizzy Pearl, when you see him, they go, holy shit, that guy's so freaking awesome, and this band is so good that I don't care.
Yeah.
And maybe that's what it is, you know? Hopefully that is what it is. But I don't know. And maybe that's what James Durbin probably thought, too.
Yeah.
How can I be a part of this band when afterwards I want to sign autographs or sell T-shirts or whatever, and everybody's pissed because not a single one of us are actually Quiet Riot?
Right.
That would get old after a while.
Well, so you ready to move on?
Yeah, what else we got?
Well, I was going to talk about the latest in Vinnie Vincent, but...
Who?
But why bother?
No, I want to know.
Do we really want to go there?
Yeah, I want to know.
It's nothing exciting.
It's part of the saga.
Oh, boy.
I mean, we got... okay, this is where...
I've got some behind-the-scenes stuff I'll share on Torpedo, dudes.
All right, as a newscaster, though, you know, sometimes you don't like to deliver the news. Sometimes you don't want to talk about a certain thing, but you have a responsibility as a journalistic broadcaster right here on this newsworthy show, the Decibel Geek Podcast. You have a responsibility to bring people the Vinnie Vincent news.
But as co-hosts of the show, we're also considered the news director, and the news director can say, I'm not talking about that.
But what about the editor-in-chief?
Is that you?
Yes, and I say, damn it, we're running with these Vinnie Vincent headlines, whether they're fake or not.
Are you threatening me?
No.
Okay.
So where are we with Vinnie Vincent? He announced some kind of Christmas show?
I guess we'll talk about that. Yeah, he's calling it Merry Metal Christmas, and it's a two-day thing at SIR, and it's more Q&A, more meet and greet, more supposed shredding,
and the sweetest salad bar you've ever seen.
And an amazing salad bar, all for the low price of $500. And brilliant planning 2 weeks before Christmas, let me tell you.
Yeah, because that's when people are looking at their family members going, you know what? Yeah. Screw you guys. I'd rather give $500 to Vinnie Vincent.
Yeah. Kids, I was going to get you something nice for Christmas, but it's all going to a has-been guitar player.
Oh, man.
It's
way to go, Vinnie Scrooge. Trying to ruin Christmas now, too, aren't you?
The whiz who stole Christmas.
It to be a lot of sad children on Christmas morning when daddy's sitting over on the corner noodling with a pink Flying V that he bought for God knows how much. Sorry, kids, you're not going to college or getting Christmas this year.
Yeah.
Thank Vinny Vincent.
Because I got
for
a
that.
Shred. Yeah. Damn it. But yeah, he's doing that here. And
Wiz, who stole Christmas. My goodness.
Apparently, the haters are invited this year.
Oh, really?
Yeah, if you want to pay
$500. So if you and I wanted to spend $500, he would allow us to go?
That's what they're claiming.
Does that say that, like, on the Rock and Pod weekend, if we'd have showed up at that thing, he wouldn't have let us go?
I don't know.
And now we are? Because I don't know. I didn't know that.
Well, that
we
was a very exclusive invite-only thing. But apparently this... It's you still have to like go through his fanager and pay $500 through PayPal, and I don't know. And Steven's a good guy. I have no problem with Steven. But he's running things for Vinny now, and my hat's off to him. Good luck with that.
That's
bro.
As we found over the years. That's a very unenvious job.
It, very much. But I wish him all the best. If it works for him, great. But yeah, I guess they're supposed to be playing master tapes from Guitarmageddon and stuff like that, and stuff no one's ever heard before. And
what's master tapes of that?
Like, stuff he hasn't released.
Oh, okay.
Like the master sound.
So you're on the album, it sounded like this. But on the master tapes, it sounds like this.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, gotcha.
And then they're going to have on display, stuff like the shirt he wore on the Lick It Up cover, the belt and stuff like that. And
didn't we see that in Atlanta?
No. Well, there were some shirts from that era that, a guy named Arjun from overseas had brought. He bought him in Butterfield's
auction. He was a cool dude.
Great guy. And he brought those to display. It wasn't Vinny.
Oh, okay.
But Vinny's displaying some of his old stuff, his old pants and stuff like that. And I could see you already making a face.
For an extra $500, I'll let you sniff them.
Mm. Yummy. I don't know. If somebody wants to spend that money on it, great. But... I'm still going to stand by. We talked to people that were there at the birthday bash, and they claim he was there shredding. But I did notice something, and this leads to another
cheese
part of this
salad.
This also pertains to what I had in the notes. Apparently, the secret Vinny Vincent groups on Facebook, they are now public to read.
Really?
Like they're no longer secretive.
So all the ones that we were like shouted out of,
they are now. You can now read them.
Oh, interesting.
And I did.
What brings the change?
Well, because they need to sell $500 tickets. Why else do you think?
Otherwise, you're only preaching to the converted. Then.
Yeah. Because every day there's a post. Be sure to don't miss the payment deadline of October 5th.
So that way, hopefully, the rest of us that he's like, okay, they have waited long enough. They, now I'll allow them to be back.
Well, it's just
they have $500.
Yeah, we need to sell more tickets, so let's open the groups up. But I took a spin through one of the groups. And, we talked to Nina, who was at the birthday bash the day after the expo, and she had talked about, he can shred again. We watched it and everything, and I've seen a few other people online talk about how they saw him shred. But I took a spin through that group, and one of the people that was there mentioned that they were in the lobby, Steven was making them wait in the lobby, and they heard playing, and they thought it was a CD. And they got down into the room, and when they walked into the room, the lights were cut out, and they saw a silhouette of Vinny shredding.
Didn't we talk about this once before? The curtain, the smoke, the silhouette. We did this. We talked about
this. So now I'm thinking...
Like a year ago.
Yeah, I predicted it.
Go back in the archives if you don't believe us. We predicted this.
Yes.
We said that if we were there, we would pull down the curtain no matter what criminal offenses that would cause us.
Pull out
us.
A police flashlight. Show me your fingers.
It's somebody else. It's not even him.
I don't know.
It's a mannequin with the vest, and he's just moving it back and forth.
But so now I'm thinking, maybe he can't do it, and maybe it was a CD.
It was a whole, Wizard of Oz thing, with the whole smoke and the poof and the behind the curtain, he's pushing buttons and moving this thing back and forth that's a mannequin with a wig on it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We predicted all of this.
Yeah. And so now I'm wondering, because, nobody filmed anything at that.
I'm sure, he was smart. Unlike what we talked about earlier with David Lee Roth, Vinny Vincent made damn sure nobody had a camera in there.
But now I'm thinking, I think I've heard that there's going to be the no filming thing in place for this Christmas thing.
Of course.
So is it all just a thing of, I'm going to pretend to play and get you people to pay hundreds of dollars?
Yeah.
Because...
You have to stay back here behind this rope,
yeah,
and I'll be up here on the other side of the room with lights shining down just right. There will be some smoke and a thin silk curtain, pink curtain, and I'll be behind it, and I'll be rocking out. And when I'm done, then I will come out for a meet and
greet.
That's
what I'm wondering. It's like, why the need for the lights to be cut and there be a silhouette of him? Come on now. It's just like...
We knew this already.
And like I said a year ago, I won't believe it till I see it. And I'm sure as hell not paying $500 to see it. It doesn't mean that much to me. But if a video gets released, I'll happily watch it. But yeah, I don't know. I still think there's shenanigans being pulled here.
Boy,
and
sure
if that makes me
like
a hater,
it.
Then so be it.
Yeah, but I mean, when you're just looking at the things that have happened and things that were said, and
hang on a second.
I don't know. It's a strange thing for sure.
Hang on. Hi, Sphinx. I hope you're doing well because I know you listen.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, we heard about that on Torpedo Dudes, I think.
Yeah. I'm just a hello because you clearly listen to us. Haters out.
See. Yeah, okay.
So we got anything else?
No, I don't think so. I think we've covered the most important news of the day.
Okay.
Everything is covered. Now people can go about their lives feeling informed, feeling empowered, and knowing that they are now aware of the importance of the events going on around them. We should win a Pulitzer Prize for the new noise concept that we came up with.
I think we might get sued by Cobras and Fire for kind of taking their idea.
Well, this was their idea?
Well, kind of. I mean, this is like generally the type of show they do.
Every single week, though.
Yeah.
But we only do it specially every once in a while.
Right.
So we get the Pulitzer Prize.
Okay.
We'll share it with them. Nobody listens to them anyway.
Oh.
We can steal all their ideas and no one will ever know.
Oh, we're going to hear from them.
Nah, I'm just kidding.
We love you guys.
So I don't know. I guess that covers the news. You got anything else? I ain't got nothing
I'm good.
Else.
Why don't we play out with the new Michael Sweet tune?
Oh, yeah, most definitely.
So here
For
we go.
Sure.
Son of Man. See you next week.
See ya. Yeah.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.